Greetings, my friends. My name is Betsy Turner. I'm the pastor of Stockbridge Presbyterian Church, and this message is for Sunday, May 24th, the seventh Sunday in the season of Easter, and our 11th Sunday of gathering in this way. I want to let you know about two decisions that your session made last Sunday when they met by Zoom. One is that we will continue to meet in this way and not to have church activities and gatherings, at least through the month of June. The second is that your session approved what we're calling a reimagining task force. This is a group of folks who are going to dig into the research and help us figure out what might come next as we think about moving forward during this time. In this time apart, I do want to emphasize that while our building is closed, while we are not gathering, the church is not closed because the church is not a building. The church is you and me, the family of faith, loving and serving and worshiping together. And so the church is not closed. We can pray from wherever we are. We can worship together in this way. We are finding new ways to fellowship and to connect. We're a family of faith. And so the church remains open and alive and active. And as I've been saying all along, we can stay in, but still stay in touch and stay generous, which is what you have all been doing, and I'm thankful. Thanks be to God. Would you sing with me now?
Come, thou almighty King, help us thy name to sing. Help us to praise, Father, all glorious, O'er all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Come, thou incarnate Word, merciful, mighty Lord, our prayer attend. Come and thy people bless, and give thy word success. Spirit of holiness, on us descend.
Our scripture reading today is from the book of Acts, right up at the beginning of the book, in chapter 1, and I am beginning with verse 6. So when they, the disciples, had come together, they asked him, that is Jesus, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. And they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, all these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In one of the commentaries I read this week as I was preparing for this sermon, a writer named Martha K. Spong had this to say. The men and women devoting themselves to prayer could not predict what was coming next or what exactly they would be called to do, only that they would be witnesses to the world on behalf of Jesus Christ. When we experience, she says, a major transition in our lives or the life of the church, we find ourselves similarly situated. Change can be exciting or unsettling, welcome or resisted, joyous or anxiety-producing. When I read those words, I had to stop and take a deep breath. And then I read them again, and I took another deep breath because those words are just so real and so pertinent for us. Change and transition and not being able to predict what's going to happen next. The truth is, that was our situation in the mainline church well before COVID-19. The church at large is and has been in a time of flux. The culture around us has shifted in many ways, and as always, the church has been slow to adjust and resistant to change. But the wise ones in our midst have been telling us that the church in the 21st century simply cannot and will not look like the church of the 20th century, not if it wants to survive and thrive. And so we have to adapt in a changing world. The truth is that technology and demographics, culture, the place of the church and other institutions in the midst of our society, all of that has changed. And we in the church are in for a wild ride as we try to adapt in and to what is a new world. One popular book among pastor types lately is this one, Canoeing the Mountains. It's by Todd Bolsinger. It's based on the metaphor of Lewis and Clark, who on their expedition of North America thought they were looking for a water passage across the continent. So they took canoes with them. That's what they prepared for the journey they expected. But then they got to the Rocky Mountains, and canoes no longer were a relevant tool for the travel they needed to do. The landscape and the task had changed. And so what they set out to do and what they planned for was not the reality they were living in. They had canoes in the mountains. And so they had to figure out a different way forward. They had to innovate and learn and adapt in ways they never imagined. And Bolsinger uses this as a metaphor for what the church is doing right now. We've been reading the book in my interim pastor group because, of course, the season of an interim is a time of transition and a time where we look around at our canoes and our mountains and think about what it's going to take to move forward. And so as a local church, you, Stockbridge Presbyterian, have been working in a season of change and transition. You've felt the big sweeping changes that are affecting our culture and the wider church, and you've been living through some local changes between pastors, wondering who you are as a congregation, who you want to be, what you want to do, and what kind of leadership you will need in a changing world and in a changing neighborhood. You're looking around at your canoes and the mountains and thinking about what new vision and leadership and tools are needed for a future that is strange and different and challenging. You're canoeing the mountains, innovating and learning and adapting in ways you never imagined. And what Martha Spong names in her commentary, uncertainty, transition, not knowing what will happen next, all of that was true of the wider church and this particular congregation before COVID-19. But it's sure true now. We simply don't know where we're headed, how things will turn out, what it will mean and look like to be the church, and how to answer our calling in these strange and uncertain days. We know that we have been forever transformed personally, culturally, and as a church by the events of the last few weeks. But it's hard to say how it's all going to play out and who and what we will be in the weeks and the months and the years to come because of what has happened to and among us in these recent days. Which is exactly where the disciples were in our passage for today. They watch Jesus ascend the risen one, miraculously restored to them after his brutal death. They've seen him. They've spent time with him after his resurrection. And now they watch him disappear again, up into heaven. He tells them that power is coming. He promises them that the Holy Spirit will be there with them. And then he's taken up into the clouds. What a vision. And what a letdown for the disciples. They are left staring up to heaven, wondering what in the world comes next, who they are, what to do, where to go, how to be faithful. They are left uncertain and in transition, unable to predict what will happen next. And Martha Spong is right. That place of uncertainty, that moment of not knowing, can be exciting or unsettled, welcome or resisted, joyous or anxiety-producing. And the only adjustment I would make to her words is perhaps to use the word and instead of the word or, because it seems like it's all of that. Change encompasses a wide range of feelings and emotions and reactions. Surely the disciples felt excited and joyous and ready to welcome the Holy Spirit and this new stage of being faithful to Christ in new ways and new places. And yet they must have also felt unsettled by Jesus' absence and resistant to the call, especially that part about taking the gospel beyond their own land and people into Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What a daunting task. And they must have been anxious about all that was unknown and unpredictable about this new faith and calling in life. Surely we feel unsettled right now by the distance between us and by all that is strange in our world, by worshiping in this new way and by all that is uncertain. Yes, we tend to resist the daunting call to adapt in the face of sweeping cultural changes and the recent abrupt shifts due to COVID-19. And of course, we are anxious about all that is unpredictable and unknown about our faith and our calling and our life. And yet, it is incredibly exciting to see the church in transition, to watch the church, our church and the church at large, doing new things that we've never done before, rising to our current situation with flexibility and faithfulness and courage. It is joyous to realize that we really can be transformed. We really are able, if we have to let go of the way we've always done it and follow Christ in new ways. And we welcome the promise of the church and our faith renewed and enriched and deepened by the way God is at work among us in a time of uncertainty and transition and not knowing what will happen next. It seems to me that we need only follow the disciples' example in our story today. Did you notice what they did? They watched the risen Christ. They kept their eyes on him. And then they turned from looking up to heaven to looking at the world around them and the call ahead of them. They stuck together with loyalty, recognizing that the only way to go forward is together, even if it is the case that we are together across distance and as we shelter in place. Still, we are united in ministry in the same way the disciples were. And importantly, the disciples devoted themselves constantly, we are told, to prayer as they waited for the Holy Spirit. Next week on Pentecost, we'll talk about that story of how they received the Holy Spirit. But I am interested in this moment where they stick together and they look around at the world that needs to be loved and served, and they join together in prayer. May we do the same. Amen. Would you sing once again?
Come, Holy Comforter, thy sacred witness bear. In this glad hour, Thou who almighty art, now rule in every heart, and ne'er from us depart, Spirit of power. To thee, great one in three, eternal praises be, hence evermore. Thy sovereign majesty may we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore.
Let us pray. God of the ages, we thank you for your steady presence among us. Amid all the changes happening around and among and within us, you remain steadfast. You remain faithful. Your love and grace are constant, guiding, guarding, and keeping us through all that is unknown and uncertain, which right now feels like a lot. We thank you for the church and for the privilege of being your people and family of faith together. We thank you that the church has never closed, that even when we have closed our doors and chosen not to gather, you have always been clear that the church is not a building or limited by physical space. And so, regardless of the virus in these unusual times, even as we keep a safe distance to protect each other's health, we give you thanks that the church is still open and active, vital, as we continue our life and work together, even while we are apart. Thanks be to your holy, gracious Spirit, who has come to us in fresh new ways in these days, and who continues to empower and equip us with all the faithfulness and flexibility that we need. Relying on that Spirit who binds us together, to carry our spoken and silent prayers to your heart. We pray as we always do, but perhaps with particular urgency in these days, for the sick or hurt and those who care for them, for the dying and those who grieve, especially those who must do so alone, for the poor and those who are most vulnerable, for the anxious and those who feel alone, for those in seats of power, that they would lead with wisdom, seeking the common good. And we pray for ourselves, that you would give us all we need for the facing of this day and this week and this situation as long as it may go on. Hear us now as we name in silence or out loud in our own spaces our specific concerns and the particular ways we need your grace. Hear us as we join our prayers through the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you sing with me once again?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
My friends, our worship always contains a time of response because our praise of God always leads us to do something in return. So right now, or at the close of this worship time, I urge you to take a moment in prayer to rededicate yourself in whatever way feels right for you today. Make a commitment in response to God's grace. There are many ways to give back to God, including financially, and none of them are adequate to the grace that we have received. But we give anyway, knowing that God receives our gifts and multiplies them for the good of the kingdom, and that in the giving, we are deeply blessed. I charge you now, my friends, to go from this time of worship to love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit who comes among us and binds us together as the church even now. Go from this time knowing and trusting and believing that you do not go alone. For the God of heaven, who received the risen Christ to his right hand and the Holy Spirit who descended upon the disciples and upon us, this good and gracious God is with us now and will abide with each and all of us forever. Knowing this, my friends, be at peace. Amen.